are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad you're back tuning in. Hope you had a great 4th of July Monday, hopefully 4th of July weekend. So, time to get back at it right here at Locked On Spurs. You know, it's been a while since the trade went down. You know, the trade hurt all across Spurs land. DeJounte Murray is no longer wearing silver and black. But we haven't got the pulse of the fan base yet. And normally when I have fan episodes, I bring in just one fan. But because so much has happened between Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray, roster moves, draft picks, so on and so much more is going on, I needed two fans. So this is going to be a very unique Spurs fan episode, Lockdown Spurs fan episode for you to enjoy. He is back, everybody. Zach Escamilla. He is the veteran of these fan episodes. Zach, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs.
Always a pleasure, Jeff.
I know you're chomping at the bit to get some stuff off your chest. I know you're itching for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting ready. He's getting ready, everybody. I can hear his mouse clicking. He's getting his notes all sorted out. Everything's good to go. And, welcome Ray Carter to this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. Ray is a longtime Spurs fan. I had the opportunity to meet him at the AT&T Center last season. Ray, welcome to this fan episode of Locked On Spurs.
Pleasure to be here.
Ray, are you ready to represent the fan base?
Yes, the best way I can, yes.
You think you can shoulder that?
Ooh, yes, I think so.
All right, well, get ready because some of them may come at you on your mentions. So, and they do come at them. Ask Zach. Zach is experienced about that. They come at him good and bad. With his takes on fan episodes. So for everybody who does not know how this works, basically Zach and Ray are going to just give the general thought on several topics of the fan base, but then they're going to bring in their two cents as well. And if they disagree, well, they'll let each other know. Zach, Ray, let's go ahead and get this started. So I'm going to throw it out there to Ray simply because you're the new kid on the block here. Ray, the trade went down. It's been several days now. The dust, I believe, has settled. I think Spurs fans have accepted it. But what do you think the fans are thinking about the trade now that they had some days to think about it? Do you think they agree with it, or are they still steaming and flipping tables and asking Brian Wright, why did you trade away an all-star?
I feel like they're both. I've been saying lately that, yeah, it's hard that they traded DeJounte, but they also didn't like the fact that they really didn't need to trade him. Brian Wright said himself they weren't planning on trading him this offseason. So I feel like they're still mad, but there's also some that, okay, we get future picks for this team in the future. I know they're trying to target somebody next offseason in the draft. So they're very mixed about it from what I've seen. And me personally, I'm a little in between too because I didn't like the draft. I mean, The trade. I felt like it was just they got robbed. I felt like we could have got John Collins, and he kind of would have fit this team. But I'm still mixed. I'm still coping.
Zach, they also let go of Jock Landale, who was also in the deal. I know that tipped it over for you. That's when you got angry and you started cussing and throwing things out the window, huh?
You know what? I was a big fan of Jock. It's sad that it didn't work out here with him. You know, I was wrong there. I really thought he may have been something. Who knows? Maybe he still will be something.
Yeah.
But overall, Jeff, I'm in the middle with this deal. And I know that's such a cop-out answer. I say that because I'm not really sure yet if this is going to be something that's going to bite the Spurs in the butt, or if it's going to help propel them in a really positive direction. Now, if I had to lean towards one side, I think I'm going to lean more towards the positive side. Glass half full as opposed to half empty here. If any of the reports are true that DeJounte Murray did not want to sign the extension, you have to get max value for the guy. In my opinion, three first-round picks for a guy that just barely made the All-Star team. And I say barely because I did listen to that episode with you and Pledger, and I was loving what Pledger had to bring to the table. He still won't follow me on Twitter, but I'll still agree with his takes. But
I'll grease the wheels and get you him to follow him.
So. No, but here I am. I'm going to praise the guy because he mentioned that these picks from Atlanta may end up being something. What if in 2 years DeJounte Murray splits from Atlanta? What if he says, you know what, I'm going to go play with LeBron? Or maybe I want to go be the man in L.A. Maybe LeBron retires. Maybe he wants to go to New York. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Atlanta. So it's really hard to tell, you know, what these picks are going to end up being. But I think the fact that you got three picks for a guy that barely made the All-Star team, Jeff, that's what I want to focus on. All of those injury replacements. Draymond wasn't there. Klay Thompson wasn't there. You had a lot of guys that are normally shoe-ins for the All-Star team that weren't able to make it. And then DeJounte Murray gets in. So I'm not saying he wasn't deserving, but let's be honest. Had those guys not been injured, he probably doesn't make it. So could you imagine if DeJounte Murray did not make the All-Star team and the Spurs still got three first-round picks for a guy that would have been quote-unquote borderline? To me, that's pretty impressive that they got a guy that just barely made the All-Star team and they were able to get three first-round picks for him. When I look at it from that perspective, that's really impressive. Now, where I look at it from glass half empty, Jeff, is it would have been nice to get Okongwu in that deal. Not John Collins, but Okongwu would have been on a nice cheap rookie contract. He would have filled a need at center because, as you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Jakob Poeltl. Really, as far as the offseason is concerned, if the Spurs can unload Poeltl, even if it's just for a pick, I'll be satisfied. I don't care if we're seeing Zach Collins out there playing the five with the kid they just signed to a two-way deal, Dom Barlow, playing backup. I'd be fine with that because if we're tanking for Wemby, I'm okay. I'm at peace with it, seeing these young guys play. But again, there's still so much going on. There's still so much cap space. It's also exciting. I really think the Spurs are up to something.
Yeah. Ray, what do you have to say about what Zach had to say, you know, that we don't know yet, like, you know, because of the draft picks that, you know, or they're out there, you know, great. You got a bunch of draft picks, but you better hope that they turn into something. You know, what do you think? Do you think, Ray, the Spurs got fleeced?
I want to say yes, because we got draft picks, yes. But we don't know what they're going to be in this draft or in the future. So we don't know if it's going to be a top 10. It could be a top 20 pick for all we know about. Whereas me personally, I thought the Spurs were already in rebuild mode. We got rid of DeMar. We got rid of LaMarcus. We got rid of Patty. We had our young guys last season. I thought that was our rebuild mode. Now they're saying, no, this is our rebuild mode. So then what was last season? Was that just a trial to see who's going to stay in the rebuild? Or was that just teaching the young guys, okay?
I personally think last season was simply development and showcase these kids so you can flip them. That's what I thought it was. That's how I took it. Hey, get better, guys. DeJounte, Devin, KJ, Jakob, and who knows? We'll see what we can do in the offseason. And we saw already, you know, they traded DeJounte Murray. Gray, I didn't mean to cut you off there. You know, we know, as I mentioned earlier, everybody knows who's been on this show. I use an app that limits us on time, so we got to keep it going. But Ray, I'll let you have the final word here, and then I'll turn it to Zach. What is your overall grade, and what do you think the overall grade is for the Spurs fan base of this deal?
I think overall, I'd say a good B just for the draft picks. For that alone, for the fan base, probably like a C, somewhere around there. Because not a lot of people like it, but some do. So like in the middle, a C.
Yeah. So wait, so you're giving it a B, and you think the fan base is giving it a C?
Yeah, well, franchise-wise,
okay.
Yeah, franchise-wise, I'll give it a B just because they want to get picks in. And then for the fan base itself, I think, like, it's a good C.
We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it even bigger with a, wait for it, Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam. I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with an NBA legend in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the screen, set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games to ever feature real digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you connected more than ever. Pre-order right now at arcade1up.com. That's arcade1up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They got even more classes, Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, many others starting at just $399. Check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon. You got until July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today and ask yourself, who are you going to play with? What about you, Zach? What is your grade?
My personal grade is an A-, and the only reason it's not an A-plus or an A is because they didn't get Okongwu on that deal. But who knows? Maybe Brian Wright could have taken Okongwu in that deal, but Atlanta said, well, we're going to give you one less draft pick. And maybe the Spurs said, you know what, we'll take the draft pick. Again, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there for those conversations. But overall, I'm giving it an A-. I like the deal. The fact that you were able to get three first-round picks for a guy that was a borderline all-star that may not even have signed here in a couple of years, and you lose him for nothing. The fan base is probably going to give it a D or an F. Jeff, based on mm-hmm. what I've seen on Twitter, you would think that people are really freaking out, Jeff, that you would think that Tim Duncan in his prime was just traded. I mean, let's not forget here, Spurs had a pretty crappy record last year with DeJounte Murray as the man. And with a bunch of rookies, I don't think we would have seen that much of a difference this year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
to me, I wish the guy well. I have nothing bad to say about Murray. He was mm-hmm. a fun player, but ultimately, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a similar result. And I think his time here, you know, he did some good things, but he wasn't going to take him to the promised land. So best of luck.
All right. All right, Ray, you know, it looks like the Spurs are not done stripping down the foundation, you know, pulling off the studs, kicking out the floorboard, because after offering Lonnie Walker a qualifying offer, you know, yesterday or a couple of days ago, the Spurs pulled it back and said, you know what, Lonnie, we're good. Go get become a unrestricted free agent. He sets off to join the Lakers and LeBron James. Ray, bad move or good move on the Spurs to just simply say adios, Lonnie?
I'd say it's a good move. You know, I loved Lonnie, but the thing with him for me is he was too inconsistent. One day he'll drop, let's say, 20 and 10 somehow. The next game he scores 0 and turns the ball over 4 times or so. So I feel like the Spurs don't want that anymore. They want to have these young players develop so they could avoid that from a player, I guess. And I feel like if Lonnie were to stay there, then it wouldn't fit what they're trying to do or trying to do with this team in the future.
Yeah. Do you think that perhaps the Spurs gave up on him too soon? I mean, I know he's been in the system for a while and I get that, but you know, every player is on their own track. Every player is on their own development. Brian Wright, when he picked Josh Primo in the draft, said, we're going to let him cook as long as he wants to cook. Do you think maybe the Spurs should have given Lonnie that type of leash?
I'd say no. I think he was good what we needed him for, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he would have given him that much.
Yeah. Zach, first of all, how did the fan base react when the Spurs said, see you, Lonnie, and all that went down?
I think for the majority, folks were probably just like me, where it's like, meh, okay, man, best of luck to you. Yeah. But Outside of that Houston game and maybe one or two other performances, it was a very lackluster Lonnie Walker era here in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I really didn't see anything outside of those handful of performances that got me excited. I think everyone was excited after Houston, including myself. And I'll proudly admit I was very wrong. I thought Lonnie Walker was going to take us somewhere, but you know, he's not a bad player, but he's just a guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's just a guy that's talented enough to play in the NBA. Nothing more, nothing less. So congrats to him for being talented enough to make it in the NBA, but definitely not a guy that you want on a rebuilding team. So again, good luck, Lonnie.
Yeah. It just seems to me, Ray, that this Spurs team is obviously in the path, and they set a path, and that is to deconstruct everything, go forward, you know, tank maybe, become the worst team in the NBA next season, you know, because the eye of the prize is, you know, Victor Wembanyama out in France. But Ray, do you and the Spurs fan base, do you think the Spurs are done wheeling and dealing? Could we see them trade Jakob Poeltl, Trey Jones, dare I say Josh Primo? Do you think the Spurs are done wheeling and dealing?
I think so. I think they like the squad very much. I feel like they won't give up any more pieces. I'm sure they'll add more through signings, but I don't think they're going to deal out. Maybe Jakob, but besides that, I think that's it. I think they'll keep the rest of the players, have them do the season, and then once the draft comes, hopefully they get that player.
Yeah. What about you, Zach? Do you think the Spurs are done, or do you think they're still going to strip down the nails and break the floorboard?
I think the next big domino is going to be Jakob Poeltl, so I agree with Ray there. I mean, he's on the final year of the deal. Obviously, he's not an old player, but clearly the Spurs are going for players that are not old enough to drink yet or are just barely old enough to order a beverage. So Jakob Poeltl definitely is old enough to order a beverage, and he's on the wrong side of 25, or at least getting close to that with what the Spurs are trying to do here. So I fully expect Jakob Poeltl to be gone, if not before the start of the season, by the trade deadline. I feel very confident about that. Keldon Johnson, I mean, listen, I can see him getting moved for the right price. If somebody comes and says, hey, we're going to give you 3 first-round picks for Keldon Johnson, I think you have to say yes. But right now, I think the safe money is Jakob Poeltl, Doug McDermott, Jason Richardson. Josh Richardson, not Jason Richardson. I'm old, so I'm thinking of the other guy. But anywho, point is, those vets, I think maybe they keep one. If they keep any of them, I could see them keeping Jay Rich for the culture, you know, to be like a nice veteran guy to, you know, be there for the rookies. I could see that, but two of those three guys are definitely gone at some point this season. But I'll agree with Ray,
you know what?
You know, and say that they're going to keep most of their young guys unless somebody throws a really compelling offer.
You know what? Another thing too is that you got to watch out for Keldon, because he's rep by Clutch. Clutch is notorious for, you know, looking out for their guys and then some. You know, just look at the Lakers roster right now. It's practically the Clutch roster, from LeBron to Lonnie and everybody else in between. And that's what it is. DeJounte Murray, Clutch guy. You know, they probably, you know, I heard that the Spurs and Clutch reps met ahead of the big deal. I didn't put it out there because that's all I was told. I mean, they could have gone to talk about Lonnie. They could have gone and talked about Keldon. It wasn't specific. But if that meeting was about the trade that went down, then yeah, they're going to try to move their guys to the best situation. Now, you know, Ray, how much do you think of a factor is, I'm going back to the DeJounte now, is the fact that he saw Derek White go to the NBA Finals. He saw that a trade did that for him. Now, DeJounte, after the Warriors won, went on social media and was announcing left and right, I want to win a championship. I need one now. I guess my question is this a ripple effect we're going to see with perhaps Keldon, maybe even Devin Vassell, that they have to know right now that they're in a rebuilding franchise, and that when their contracts are up, they might say, you know what, San Antonio, peace out. I want to go elsewhere. Let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar, they got a new flavor, the Chocolate Brownie Chunk Puff. From the people who invented healthy and tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You probably tried the amazing Coconut Chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puff treatment. That's right, Coconut Brownie Chunk Puff Built Bar flavor for you to love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate and is a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. Like, hey, stop drooling, okay? Listen up. They're going to, not only are they good for you, they low calorie, low sugar, high protein, all delicious. Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. So go to Built.com to make your order right now and make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which enters your body more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puff is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can also enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat, perfect when you have a craving. You need to satisfy that sweet tooth, or you need a quick, healthy snack. They're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut-rich sweet brownie creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Go to Built.com right now. Order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order. Promo code LOCK15.
I don't think so. I think they want to stay with this team to get to that point. Now, I know I'm probably wrong with this, but like with Timmy, when he came to San Antonio, I know they weren't kind of in a rebuild mode, but they were. They didn't have the best record at the time. You know, they were still trying to find their way. And I feel like with this team, they want to do that too. They want to mimic drafting a great player through the draft, getting whoever to get up to that point of winning a championship mm-hmm. here in San Antonio.
Zach, do you think fans are already kind of biting their fingers about that possibility that KJ and Vassell maybe, you know what? Yeah, we're dipping. We don't want to be a part of a rebuild.
I think maybe some are, but, you know, I've said this before on Twitter, you know, I like Keldon Johnson, I do, but he's clearly undersized to play the four position. Enter Jeremy Sohan, which I really hope he gets the opportunity to get the bulk of those minutes, especially now that it's a rebuild. I mean, why send the kid to Austin?
Yeah, exactly.
But with that being said, with Keldon, can he play the three consistently? Can he drop the LBs to be a little bit quicker to stay with some of those other wing players? Maybe. But ultimately, he's a little bit too much of a bull in a China shop, if you ask me. You know, at times it's just like, okay, dude, you're going to the basket, you're driving, you're trying to get a foul called. It's like, you're not James Harden, man. You're not going to get those calls. So for me, yeah, he did do some things with his three-point shot. He's a solid player, but is he somebody that I would lose sleep over if the Spurs traded him? No. I think Vassell has a higher ceiling in terms of an overall game, what he can bring to the table. But I mean, what? Vassell's going into his second, third year now. I mean, if you're going to start making demands like trade me, I want to go win. It's like, well, show us something. Go out there. Yeah. Here's your chance to be the man.
Up your stock.
And the same thing goes for Keldon. It's like, all right, dude, if you are the players that you believe you are to be making those kind of demands, show it. Go out there and help get some wins. Yeah. You know.
Well, let's get Ray's thoughts on this. Ray, I want to ask you, do you think the fan base would be up in arms if the Spurs were to say, you know what, we really want to rebuild, big capital letters, any takers for KJ or Vassell? I mean, they just went through this with DeJounte Murray. Do you think Spurs fans would have a similar reaction or kind of like, all right, do what you got to do, San Antonio?
I think they'd be mixed again, too. You know, I like KJ a lot. I think he's a good, solid player for this team. You know, he's done great for the community and whatnot. But again, I feel like it would be the same with DeJounte. I feel like some would like it, you know, because obviously the draft, the pick, so they're going to want that more. But then some are going to be like, well, he could have helped this young team, you know.
Right.
Zach was saying He has a great 3-point. Well, he's working on the three. He could get to the basket. He's not going to get the call. But, like, on the offensive side, you know, he could get you points and whatnot. And I feel like that's what this team needs right now is a score. Yeah, you got Vassell and Primo, but KJ's another option too, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
He is Zach Escamilla. He is Ray Carter. You are listening to a fan episode, or should I say fans, plural, episode of Locked On Spurs. And we're just here talking about some big topics that we believe that are on the lips of Spurs fans right now, at least in the back of their head, is kind of a now what. Like, now what is going to happen now? Let's go to talk about that, the now what. Ray, I'll start with you again. So the Spurs just lost their starting point guard. They lost their backup center, Jack Landale. They lost their sixth man, Lonnie Walker. Do you believe, let's start off with the fact that there's a vacant point guard spot. Do you believe, and do you think the fans believe, that either Trey Jones, Josh Primo, or maybe somebody else on the roster can man that point guard spot right now, or you think the team should go seek out another point guard?
Oh, that's a good question. I personally say seek out another point guard. You know, this team is good, but I don't think Jones or Primo's ready yet. Maybe Jones. I'm thinking about it. Maybe Jones can, because obviously what he did last season when DeJounte wasn't there.
Yeah, that second half of the season. Yeah, that second half of the season, he took off. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, but to do that every game, though, that's the thing. Can he do it? Can he do it throughout the season? Because remember, he was coming off the bench with DeJounte starting. So I'd personally seek out a younger point guard. I know Colin Sexton's still available. I haven't checked anything that said otherwise. I'd say bring him in. You know, he's a great, solid player. He would kind of fit this team in the rebuilding phase. Mm-hmm. So I'd look after him.
Zach, now what? Again, they lost their starting point guard. You know, should they go seek somebody out or just tank away, baby, and Josh Primo, here are the keys to the car?
Well, see, that's the thing, Jeff. Here's where, are we 100% sure the Spurs are going to tank? And I say that, I'm not trying to be cheeky here, but the fact of the matter is DeAndre Ayton's still available. As Ray just mentioned, Colin Sexton is still available. I mean, let's just say the Spurs pull fast one and they get those two guys. You add Ayton, Sexton, Vassell, Johnson, Primo, Sohan, and they keep some of those vets like McDermott, Richardson, Pirtle. I mean, the team gets interesting real quick if you add those two guys. I'm not saying they're a title contender, but they're definitely a playoff, you know, contender to at least, you know, maybe get past the play-in. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the Spurs really do. Now, that's if they're in compete mode, if they really want to go out and get a Sexton or an Ayton, you know, that automatically becomes – an interesting team. But if they say, you know what, tank baby tank, Josh Primo's your guy. I mean, they said last year, Jeff, I remember you reported on this. They wanted Primo to be the primary ball handler. And that's why they sent him to Austin, because they wanted him to get those opportunities. Here I was thinking he was going to be more of a two or a three. But when you say primary ball handler, and I know it's positionless basketball now, you think point guard. So I think the Spurs were kind of prepping for this day, if and when DeJounte Murray would want to leave, or maybe they had to trade him. Because remember, we all thought, what the hell's Josh Primo? Another guard? What? But now it kind of makes sense. And it makes even more sense taking Malachi Branham and Blake Wesley, you know, some combo guards, more so Wesley there. They were preparing for this. So it really just depends. If the Spurs are going to go full tank, it's Primo, baby. If they want to get interesting, they'll go get a guy like Sexton.
There you have it. You know, obviously, that's something to keep an eye on. I think the Spurs are likely to put that point guard spot in focus, Ray, because, you know, they need a guy there. You know, if they go with Primo, great. Let him get his burn. Let him get him experience. Maybe he is going to be, you know, that sneaky pick the Spurs took at number 12 a couple drafts ago. But Ray, let's go to transition to another part of this rebuild. And it's a piece of the Spurs rebuild that hasn't crumbled yet. And that is Greg Popovich. You know, let's face it, they're going to have a new coach soon, sooner than later. It's likely that Pop will be back. You know, he greeted the Spurs, the new rookies at Barclays when they got drafted. Yeah, I told him we're getting ready to work. So he's coming back. But how much of a domino is that to fall? How big of a domino, I should say, is that to fall once he decides to leave? You know, do you think that would set back this rebuild? Or do you think maybe bringing in a new coach will fast forward it?
I think it would go forward, in my opinion. I think that's why they got, I think, Brent Brown recently.
You're right.
You know, he knows the system with Pop. He's handled young players before, and I think in Philly and whatnot.
So and he's also a tank commander too, Ray. Remember, he was the guy, trust the process.
Oh, that was right there in Philly. Right. So I think that's why they brought him in, because I think Pop has either one more year with this team, and I think he's going to leave, and then obviously Brett Brown's going to fill his place. Or who knows, maybe they bring in somebody after Pop leaves.
Yeah.
Vince Snyder is still out there.
Oh, that is right. Yep. I don't know. This seems just too unpredictable at times.
They really are. And, you know, just a point of clarification before, you know, I have to do this, Zach, but earlier in the show, you mentioned how there was a report out there that Murray had informed the Spurs that he ain't going to resign. That was asked to Brian Wright after the trade went down, and he said that he did not get any type of request that, or at least a notice that DeJounte was not going to resign. So just putting it out there.
I think he did that out of respect, Jeff, because this is purely me speculating. So I have nothing to back this up. But if DeJounte really did one out, let's just say he did. He did right by the Spurs. He didn't pull a Kawhi Leonard. He didn't go through, you know, his family and social media and all of this stuff to put those waves out there. He basically, I think, went to Brian, him and Rich Paul's agent, and said, listen, I'm not really liking the direction. I'm not going to make any waves on social media in terms of demanding a trade. But if you guys can find something for me, I'll keep it quiet on my end, save for the occasional troll job post that he did. But he never went out of his way to go on social media and say, I want out. So for me, I think it was a mutual respect thing where Brian said, you know what? I'm just going to say no, even though in my heart of hearts, I know it meant it was a yes. But out of respect for Murray and out of respect for what he did for us, allowing us to get max value for him, I'm just going to let sleeping dogs lie. That's my guess on what went down.
All right. Well, you know, we only have a few minutes left, and, you know, there's so many things, so many storylines now about this team moving forward that were never there just a few weeks ago, you know, from the point guard spot. Who's going to be the next sixth man? Is Keldon or Devin going to be the face of the franchise if they stay, you know, in this course? How long is the rebuild? That's how much, you know, stories are out there about this team. You know, a team that not too long ago, Ray, was putting out front and center a core of DeJounte and Lonnie and Keldon and Derek. That was going to be your core that we're going to build around for the future. Only one is left of those four. And that's KJ. So, yeah, this is definitely uncharted water, at least for you, Ray, not for me and Zach, for you. Because Zach and I, we've been through a rebuild before back in the 80s and 90s. So welcome. This is what it feels like, Ray. Are you kids ready for it?
I don't think so. I don't think these fans.
Let's just put it this way, Ray. Zach and I had to cheer for a busted up Dominique Wilkins on his last legs. He was the face of the franchise for one season, Ray.
Moses Malone was here too, remember?
Moses Malone in his last legs, whatever ounce of gas he had left in the tank, was a big piece of this team. Vinny the Microwave Johnson came to San Antonio. That's how bad it was, Ray. And these guys were all like in their last legs.
We had to live through the Corey Alexander era. Dwayne Shinsis era.
Yeah. So
there was a lot of randoms.
Yeah. So get ready, kids. get ready, kids. It's going to be a fun ride. Lucky for me and Zach, we've been through this, so we know that it just takes patience. But you're all going to have to be patient.
You know, it'll be okay.
All right, so we just got about 10 minutes left. So I'm going to go ahead and give the mic to Ray and Zach. So let them have the final word on anything that they want to get off their chest following the major moves that the Spurs did. Either it could be the draft or the trade. Pick a topic. Ray, go first. You got about 2 minutes. Go.
For me, I think the thing that the Spurs should do before the season is decide whether we're tanking or not. Because last season, you know, they started off hot. They won a couple games and whatnot. Then there was a cold streak. And then they went hot again. And then they're like, okay, we're going to aim for the play-in. Well, now that's a different situation. This time they need to figure out, are we going to tank? Because you can't start losing games, then winning, and then somehow try to make the play-in. Like, they need to figure out what they're doing. Because if they just go through the season doing whatever, then it's not going to work for them. And the DeJounte trade's not going to work out.
Right. That's Ray's last thoughts on this fan episode. Zach, your turn. You got 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. I just think that the draft was really telling of what this organization is ultimately trying to do. And they're trying to build a group of really young guys that can grow together and learn how to play as a team. Seeing that camaraderie between Jeremy Sochan, Blake Wesley, and Malachi Branham, to me, that was really awesome. Just how they all sort of had some sort of history together. It seemed like they, just from the outside looking in, like they were all really good friends. They were already gelling as rookies together on draft night. So to me, that's something really encouraging to see. And who knows? We don't have a crystal ball, Jeff. Right. We don't know what. Let's just say those three rookies set the world on fire. Let's say they're awesome. And what if the Spurs make the play in, but with a bunch of young guys? To me, I'd rather make the play in with all these young rookies and second year players. And that shows like, oh, my God, we took a big leap. We just need a couple other pieces here. So to me, I'm just excited to see what these guys can do, what they can bring to the table for better or worse. So I know a lot of people, doom and gloom, but I, for one, am really excited to see what these young kids can bring to the table.
All right, there you have it. Zach Escamilla, Ray Carter, right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. Ray, tell everybody how they can chat with you on social media and get ready. They're probably going to have a few things to say, which you had to say on this episode of Locked On Spurs.
Well, I can't wait to talk with them. You can find me on Twitter at rraving. That's rreyving. And it's the same handle on Instagram. Sorry. At rreyving.
Yep. Yep. Make sure to give Ray a follow. Good follow. Knows his Spurs stuff. And definitely likes to talk some geek and nerd stuff with me and Zach on occasion. Make sure to follow Ray. Zach, your turn. You know, Zach, you're every time you're on, everybody loves it that you're on. I mean, that's
I never get any follows though. It's like people like to hear what I say,
yeah,
but then they're like, I don't want to follow this. You know what? he can get the heck out of here. Which you know,
yeah, Ray, cool. Ray, yeah, Ray. Every time Zach comes on, he gets like everybody. Oh, we love Zach. Bring him back on Lockdown Spurs, and they don't give him any shine. Ray, help out, Ray.
I'll follow you right now.
Okay.
I'll
follow you. All right, there you go. You just got one. You just go, but Zach, tell everybody they can follow you because you're desperately crying for followers right now.
At Get Back Zach, and that Zach with a Z-A-K, even though my actual Twitter handle is just my name spelled a bunch of different ways because, again, with Zach, you can spell it so many different ways, but it's Z-A-K on the app.
Yeah. Get ready, Spurs fans. As of right now, this recording, it looks like it's going to be a very, very long season. But luckily for you, Zach, Ray will chat with you and take you through this rebuild. Make sure to give them a follow. They told you how you can follow them. My turn. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, now on YouTube. And make Locked On Hawks your second listen right now because they're beaming right now about getting over, quote unquote, the Spurs. So go check out what Locked On Hawks are talking about
now. In 2 years, they're going to be regretting it, Jeff. That's my prediction.
Oh, they're popping their collars, Ray. Zach, they're popping their collars right now. So we'll see. I predict one of these picks that they sent to San Antonio is going to bite them in the butt.
Absolutely. They're going to be like, that Charlotte one's going to be great with the Miles Bridges situation. Charlotte's not going to be that great a team. I'm telling you right now.
Exactly. So, yeah, make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs and follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. So for Ray Carter and Zach Escamilla, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.